Morning to you. I hope you're having a beautiful Sunday morning, right? I hope you're having a good Sunday morning. We'll just venture into the world. Yeah, it's going to be a venture, right? So as much as possible, avoid all forms of distractions, and let's just get into the word for what it is, okay? Yeah, so let's go into the word. Let's agree and pray. Thank you, Father, for your spirit that you have so richly given unto us upon your resurrection. Our hearts are full with thanksgiving, and we say thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask and receive this morning that the truth of God's word is taught with accuracy, with clarity, with precision. There is no contradiction, no confusion. Our hearts are receptive to receive the word of truth this morning. I would declare and decree that at the end of today's meeting as saints, we are edified and Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, I believe you should be with your Bible. So go with me to Ephesians chapter 5. Go all the way to Ephesians chapter 5 with me. Ephesians chapter 5. Glory to God forevermore. Yep. Go all the way to Ephesians chapter 5 this morning. Why are we going to Ephesians chapter 5? Really because we want to start somewhere. Okay, so look at Ephesians chapter 5 verse 1. It says, be ye therefore followers of God. Look at that carefully. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. So Paul starts a statement, and in what you call chapter 5, he starts it with, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. So the reason why there's an expectation to follow God is because there is a relationship. Right, so there is a relationship, and based on that relationship, there is an expectation. Let me say that one more time. Right, there is an expectation on the account of the fact that there is a relationship. So he says, be therefore followers of God as dear children. Be therefore followers of God as dear children. So it is because you are a child that you are asked to follow. Do you understand? So be therefore followers of God as dear children. You are in a relationship with God. And the relationship you have with God is that of a child. Okay? So Paul is writing to the Ephesians, and by default, he's writing to the believers. Right? So he's writing to the Ephesians in that he's writing to the believers in Ephesians. So other believers can read Paul's letter to the Ephesians or the believers in Ephesians and learn from it. So Paul will say, be therefore followers of God. Now, before you get to chapter 5, you would have actually read all through chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3. Go to chapter 1 quickly. Go to chapter 1, go to chapter 1 verse 3, right? So Paul begins to talk about God, and he says, be ye therefore followers of that God as their children. So it means that when Paul will be talking about God, he has in mind a template that should be followed, right? So if you go all the way to chapter 1, verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, that is God who has blessed, right? Look at verse 4, according as he hath chosen us, that is the same God. Verse 5, having predestinated us, that's the same God. Verse 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace, the same God, in whom we have redemption through his blood, forgiveness of sins, wherein he had abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence, right? If you go all the way, you just keep reading. You go to verse 18 or verse 16. I cease not to give thanks of you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the same God, right? That you may know what is the exceeding greatness, verse 19, of his power, right? Look at verse 20, which he wrought in Christ. So there is an exceeding greatness of God's power that he wrought in Christ, the same God. Right, go all the way to verse chapter 2, and you had he quickened, yeah, the same God. Look at verse 2, wherein in time past he walked according to the course of this world, right, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit are now working in the children of disobedience, among whom we all had our conversation. Verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy. Now look at verse 5, even when we were dead in sins, God had quickened us together with Christ, right? And God, verse 6, had raised us up together and made us sit in heaven in Christ. And all the way to verse 8, for by grace ye are saved Look at verse 10. For we are his workmanship, we're created in Christ, the same God, right? Look at verse. So you see, if you keep reading all the way, you realize that Paul has been mentioning the action, the activities of God in Christ. Look at verse chapter 3 for our time. Paul will say, for this cause I the preacher. So Paul will now say, look at chapter 2, verse 19. Ephesians 2, 19. Now therefore ye are no more strangers, right? But fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. So you are now in a relationship with God. And upon account of that, Paul will now say in chapter 3, for this cause I, Paul, verse 2, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace which God hath given me to you, what? How that by revelation made known unto me, the mystery. Go all the way to verse 10, right? To the intent, right? That now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places or in heavenlies might be known by the church, right? Look at verse 11. According to the eternal purpose which he had proposed in Christ, right? Go all the way to chapter 4. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you therefore to walk worthy of the vocation wherein ye are called. So if you go back all the way to chapter 1, verse, look at verse 4. According as he had chosen us before in him, before the foundation of the world, right? So he had chosen us. That means he has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light, right? Look at Romans. Go all the way to Romans quickly. Go to Romans chapter 8. If you go all the way to Romans chapter 8, look at verse Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are what? Called according to his purpose. So we are those who have been called according to his purpose. In the previous verse, in Romans 8, you will see the Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are what? Okay, read it. Go to Romans 8:14. Okay, Romans 8:14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. That means they are those who have an inheritance in Christ Jesus, right? They are those who have been produced by the resurrection, right? Look at verse 15. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage to fear, but ye received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Father, Father, Abba, Father. Now see, it now says, that Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Verse 17, Romans 8:17. And since children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. So we are children of God on account of the resurrection, right? Go back all the way to Ephesians chapter 4, right? So go back all the way to Ephesians chapter 4. So Paul begins to say in Ephesians chapter 4, I therefore, don't forget. So it means that Paul's fundamental letter will have a background of a knowledge of the relationship between a God and his children. Okay, so he first uses chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, or chapter 1, 2, 3 first, to talk about that or those which are the activities of God in Christ Jesus, right? He now goes to chapter 4, he says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, I beseech you that ye walk. So it means because of what God has done for you, there is a walk that is expected, okay? So it says that you walk worthy of the vocation wherein we are called. Paul will tell us in Romans that we've been called according to his purpose, right? He says, with all loneliness and meekness, with long suffering, look at verse 2 carefully, forbearing one another in love. So it means that the walk worthy of the vocation wherein we are called in chapter 4 verse 1 is a call to forbearance or forbearing one another in love. Are we together, right? So with the all loneliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. Look at verse 3. Endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. Right? So you must have read all of those things, then go all the way to chapter 4, verse 31. Don't forget, it says, walk worthy of the vocation. So God has called you. And in that call, there is a walk that is expected. And the walk is expected only because you are a child, right? Only because you have a relationship with God, right? So God expects certain things primarily, fundamentally, holistically from those in a relationship. Right? So for an unbeliever, what God expects from the unbeliever first is not to walk in love. Right? What let me say that differently, right? What God expects from an unbeliever first is not to walk worthy of any vocation. Do you understand? Right? So what God expects from an unbeliever is first come into a relationship. Then when you come into a relationship, there is an expectation on account of that relationship. Did you see that? Right? So look at what now Paul now says to those in the relationship with him. Chapter 4, verse 31. He says, let all bitterness, let all wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you. Now, look at it. Can bitterness be found in the heart of one who is in a relationship with God? Yes, so. You see, find it in a place in your heart to believe that. Right? And so Paul will now say, let all bitterness. So it means that it is going to require an intentional effort for the believer. Don't forget, Paul is not saying to everybody in the world, let all bitterness. Fundamentally, the first message to everybody in the world is come into the relationship, right? Come into that relationship. Right? So, in the real sense, you come into the relationship, then you follow. So, in order to follow, you need to understand what exactly has this God done that is a template. Or what exactly is the activity of God that serves as a template for us to follow. So, Paul first says, let all bitterness, don't forget from chapter 1, he said, God has predestined you, God has forgiven your sins, you have redemption in him, he has quickened us by his spirit, God who is rich in mercy, he has forgiven us our sins, right? He has said everything that God has done for you and I, now in the household of God, right? He now says, let all bitterness and wrath. So, is there a tendency for bitterness to be found in the heart of a man who is in relationship with God? Oh yes, 125%. Right? But what should the man do? Be ye therefore followers. So it means that when bitterness is found in the heart of a man, there's a tendency for the man to follow through with bitterness. But Paul will say, unfollow bitterness and be ye therefore followers of God. Alright? Okay, so okay, go all the way to chapter 4, verse 6, 26 rather. Look at chapter 4, verse 22. verse 22. Glory to God. Look at verse 21. Glory to God. Look at verse 21. Look at verse 20. In fact, before you go to verse 20, look at verse 17. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not. So for the believer, there's a walk and there's a walk not. In fact, let me say it differently. For the believer, you see, what I'm teaching today, I would expect you that you marinate your heart with this through this season. Okay? Right? And in other seasons to come. All right? So it says, therefore I say unto you, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk. So it means there are two types of following for the believer. There is that which you follow not, and there is that which you follow. And you see, in the reason there is only one following, right? But there's a tendency to follow that which should not be followed. So there are two possible walks a believer can walk in. Paul will say, walk according to the vocation in which you are called. What it really means is verse 2, chapter 4, forbearing one another in love. So it means the call to love or the work that God expects for the believer is a walk of forbearance, right? It's a walk of forbearance. So it means that you are called into a walk of forbearance, or it means you are called into forbearing. And that's your identity. You see, so Paul will say, this I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk. So it means that you are one who should walk in a way, and there are Gentiles who walk in another way. So it says, don't walk like the Gentiles, right? Walk in the vocation in which you are called, that is, that will expect for bearing one another in love. Okay, look at verse 18. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated, that's not a believer, yeah, is describing the Gentiles. What? Okay, look at verse 17 again. That this I say therefore and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. Right? In the vanity of the, so Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. The believer walks by renewing his mind. So it is in your act, Romans 12, right? Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You see, it is that call to renewing of your mind that will aid your walk and will make your walk not to be as the walk of the Gentiles. All right? So it says, look at verse 18, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that's in them because of the blindness of their heart, right? Who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness to walk all uncleanliness with greediness. That's not the believer, right? Look at verse 20, but ye have not so learned Christ. So Paul tells you there's certain things that you've not learned in Christ. And those things, the only way you learn it is by following the work of the Gentiles. You understand? So you don't find that. So if a believer is walking like the Gentile, he doesn't find that template in Christ. He finds that template by looking at the Gentiles. Do you get that? Right? So there's a template of the Gentiles. Right? There's a template. And that is why, you know, you hear me say things like, the believer is impressionable. Right, so you cannot consistently keep walking with the Gentiles and expect that you will not subconsciously pick the template of the Gentiles. So to walk successfully, right, in the will of God, in the plan of God, you need to walk with those that are of the household of faith. Do you understand? Yeah, see, you're a Christian, you're a believer. Yeah, and your best friend, you say, is a Gentile. I can assure you, right? See, it's not impossible, but the work you will require, right, to renew your mind will more likely be most likely more than what an average person will require. Do you understand? Because by default, we learn by observing, we learn by watching. Yeah, so when you see an action of anyone, it's from one template or the other. Do you understand? So, Paul will now say, ye have not so learned Christ, if so that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation of the old man. So, the conversation of the old man is linked to the work of the Gentiles. Paul will say, put off. You see, it is a deliberate effort that needs to happen. Let me say it this way. Salvation was or is an intentional action that God used or demonstrated towards you to be saved. The only thing you need to do is to open your heart and receive it. So when you receive it, you are now in a relationship. Now that you are in a relationship, there is now a thing called putting off, not walking. It's your work. So, you know, when you see a Christian, everything about the Christian is finished work. Finished work. Some is works. Finished works. Finished work. It is done, done, done. Finish, finish, finish. Ah, my dear brother, my dear sister, the work in the Christian faith is not finished. And the work in the Christian faith is finished. The work is not finished. It is ongoing till your last breath. It is a continuous walk. He says, walking in love, forbearing one another. We'll get there shortly, okay? So look at chapter 4, verse 22. That he put off concerning the former conversation, that old man. Look at verse 23. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Yeah? So he's not saying your mind has spirit, right? He's trying to explain be renewed in your mind. Because Paul will teach that in Romans 12. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. In fact, Paul could have said, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of the spirit of your mind. The same thing. Yeah? Yeah? That's what you call genitive of opposition. Yeah? So, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man. Paul has already told us you are now a new man in Christ by the riches of his mercy. Right? You've actually received of his life. You are now a new man in Christ. But Paul says, there is such a thing called putting off and putting on. There is such a thing called not walking and walking. To not walk, it will mean to put off. Yeah? To walk will mean to put on, right? So, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in Christ, in righteousness and true holiness. Look at what it says in verse 25. Wherefore, putting away lying. So, can a believer lie? Yes. Where will the believer learn lying from? The believer will learn lying from watching the Gentiles walk. Do you understand? Yeah. So when you see a believer lie, well, the believer is does not stop being a believer. The believer is just one who Christ died for, one who has the indwelling of the Spirit, but not copying the Spirit in him, right? He is one that, despite the Spirit in him, is what? Walking after the Gentiles, or emulating the template found in the Gentiles' walk. Are you following me today? Right? So, Paul will say, wherefore put away lying, right? Speak every man the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another, right? So, in essence, be angry, well, and sin not. Seems like an instruction. Well, be angry, but don't sin, right? I've taught this before. There's a syntax, slight syntax correction we can make to that verse. A better way to do that will be ye not angry. So, you see the not after sin. And sin not. And take that not from there and bring it in the conversation of be ye angry. So, it's be ye not angry and sin. Are we together? Right? Yeah? Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. So, let me put for you in context. You go back to verse 31. Look at verse 31. The reason why we did what we did in verse 26 is because of verse 31. Look at 31. Don't get confused. It says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you. Paul cannot, in less than 5 verses, says be angry. And in another 5 verses, first verses, it says put anger away from you. Which one are you to pick? So it means that if for verse 26 to make sense as literal as it is, it means what Paul is saying is, be angry, but just know that the end goal is put it away. No. Right? So he says, be ye not angry and sin. Right? So it means that all those bitterness, all those wrath, all those anger, there are things you marinate yourself with, or there are things you get associated with by watching the walk of the Gentiles. Okay, so wherefore putting away lying, speaking every man truth with his neighbor, right? He says, neither give place to the devil in verse 27. Now look at 28. Let him that stole steal no more. Saints, can a man that is tongue speaking, spirit filled, demon casting, if he gives you tongue, you will see the interpretation line by line, right? And if he gives you word of knowledge, it will be accurate to the last T of your father's greatest father's son name. Yes, it can. Can one like that steal? Yes, 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 yes. What do we say of that one? We don't say he's no longer a child of God. No, it is that he is following a template that he should not follow. That means he is not putting away that which he should put away. So Paul will say, let him that stole steal no more. What does let him that stole steal no more? Or what does steal no more mean? It means put away. So look at it. In life, by default, when you put away, if you don't put something to replace it, more often than not, you end up back to what you put away, right? So, and that's why it's called renew your mind, or renewing our mind, or renewing the spirit of our minds. Are we together? So Paul now goes all the way to verse 28 again. Let him that stole steal no more. Let him labor, working with his hands, that thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Right? So, brother A, brother B, right? They need something, right? Brother A decides to steal, right? What is Paul saying to brother A? Well, brother A, go labor with your hand so that you can have something for yourself and have something to give brother B. So, it means brother B should not look at brother A and think that the solution to what he needs is in stealing like brother A. Yeah? Yeah, so he says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 29. Let not corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. He has been talking about lying, talking about stealing, talking about speaking every man truth with his neighbor. He says, let not corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the ears. Right? Let all bitterness, verse 31, and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Okay, Stop. Can a believer have malice against another believer? Ah, see, find it in a place in your precious giving heart to believe that. See, can a pastor, let me say differently, can a senior general overseer walk towards malice or walk in malice towards another? Ah, by the, you know, I don't say by the grace of God, but it's not by the grace of God. But find it in your place to believe that a senior apostle, yeah, whether they call you doctor, chief, apostle, evangelist, teacher, they now add brother at the back, yeah? See, that doesn't take away the tendency to walk in the path of the Gentiles. So what do you do not to walk in the path of the Gentiles? You listen to the instruction. That means you make very evident in front of you the template of God that needs to be followed. Do you understand? So he now says, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. So he tries to tell you what the vocational work he's been talking about from verse 1 means. He says forbearing one another. So he starts with chapter 4 with forbearing one another in love and ends chapter 4 with forgiving one another in love. You see that? Yeah. So he says, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. So he now tells you the reason why it is expected for you to be kind, it is expected for you to forgive one another, it is because you have a template in that which you've received. So that's why he first told you, God has forgiven you in Christ. He's put his spirit in you, right? He has made you redeemed. He's redeemed you. He has brought this. He has done that. He's not saying, well, I'm not telling you that thing for you to stop at glory. See, it's good to glory. But much more than glory is to see an example to follow. Look at 1 Peter. Look at 1 Peter. All right. All right. So look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. 1 Peter 2, verse 21. 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse 21, it says, for even hereunto were ye called. Don't forget, we spoke about the fact that we were called in Romans and how we were called in Ephesians 4. So, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us. So, did Christ suffer for you? Yes. Are we together? Right? Yeah. Leaving us an example that we should follow his steps. That's Peter. That's Peter. So Peter taught the same thing Paul taught, that Jesus taught. I'll take it there shortly. So Peter says, you see, when you say, he died for me, and he rose again, that I might be saved, I am born again, I have a spirit, I'm his child forevermore. So you give Sam, I'm his child forevermore, he have a spirit. Paul says, when you finish that song, and you say, glory. What do you say? You say, ah, that is an... So it means another chorus of that song or that psalm can be, I have an example in my Lord and Savior. I have a spirit. I can follow his footsteps for his footsteps. So you can go on and on and on. But don't stop at glory. He has forgiven me. It is, he has forgiven me so that I can forgive others. I can walk in love. I can do the things that God... So you can do any psalm you want, but it must not always end at glory. Yeah? Now, but which one should you prioritize more in your mind? And it is that which he has done. It is because when you prioritize that which he has done, you are successfully amplifying. You are successfully amplifying his template to yourself. Are we together? Right? So, Peter says, don't just stop at, he suffered for me. I will not suffer. He suffered for me so I can follow his steps. What is suffer? It means to forbear. Right? So go back to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. Ephesians 4, verse 32. So, Ephesians 4, 32 says, and be ye kind one to another, right? Tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Chapter 5, be ye therefore followers of God as their children. You see how he's tying the knot. He has told you that, oh, he has made you his child. He has brought you into his kingdom. You are now members of the household of faith. You are now members of the household of God. You are one who your sins are forgiven. In that, be ye therefore followers of God. Be ye therefore followers of God. So you amplify the promise of God, or you amplify the template of God in your mind. Then you see that which needs to be followed. Are we together? Right? So go, look at Titus chapter 1. Yeah, so the question is God forbearing? Think about yourself now. Look at Titus chapter 1. Look at chapter 1 verse 2. Titus 1, 2. It says, in hope of eternal life, which God, so the same God, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised at the beginning or promised before the world began. So God is the one that does not lie or cannot lie. He made a promise. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. 2 Corinthians 1, 20, I hope you're there. He says, look at verse 19, right? For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timotheus, right, was not yea and nay, but in him was yea. Look at verse 20. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. For all the promises of God in him are yea, right? And in him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. Now he which established us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God, who hath also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. So the Bible says, for the promises of God are what? So don't forget, you see, this is the scripture that we have another year approaching, right? You see, a lot of times we will promise our members lots of other things, yeah? Like we did January 1st, yeah? Yeah, like we did January 1st, right? Well, be thankful. Well, let's thank God we are alive. Are we together? Or let's be thankful that we are alive in the real sense, because there are lots of things a lot of people were promised. Now, this is the time where you see a lot of people slipping into frustration, right? Or the God of the seventh hour, the God of the sixth hour. Well, interesting things. And this is one of the scriptures they use. All the promises are yea. They are, how do I teach that thing over a decade ago? It's probably all the promises are... this scripture, it says, for all the promises of God were in him. In him. So this scripture is not saying everything the pastor promises is yes, done. Yeah, everything God has promised, he has done it, is for you to use your hand and receive. Well, if what you are talking about is based on that which is in him, the giving of the Spirit via the resurrection, and that's correct. But not, oh, this year you will drive car. This year you will drive this. That year you will not do it. No. That's not the promise of God in scriptures. No. The promise of God is about that which is the resurrection, that is giving, or the giving of the Spirit via the resurrection of his Son in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. Right? So Titus will say, or Paul will say, in hope of eternal life, which God had promised before the world began. So God promised. So that same God that promised is the same God Paul spoke about in Ephesians as the one that you've been forgiven, you've been redeemed, you have a spirit, riches of his mercy, you've been taken away from darkness. He's now saying, oh, that same God has done something for you. Be ye therefore followers of God in Christ Jesus. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. So when Paul says follow, what is he saying? He's saying there is a template, right? You are now a member of God's kingdom. Look at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22. Hebrews 12, 22. Are you in Hebrews 12, verse 22? Go there quickly. Hebrews 12, 22. He says, but ye are come. Who are the ye that are come? You and I. Okay? But ye are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God. You see that word "and" further explains what was said earlier, right? It says, but ye are come unto Mount Zion. What is Mount Zion? Or where is Mount Zion? Mount Zion is the city of the living God. So who are you that has come? you are that which is a child of God that has come to Mount Zion. So what do you do in Mount Zion? You follow. Yeah. So does Mount Zion have a God? Yes. Look at it now. It says, ye have come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God. Look at verse 23. To the general assembly, the church of the firstborn. So you've come into an assembly. Right? You've come into an assembly, and that assembly is the gathering or the church of the firstborn. That is the church of Christ, the body of Christ. You are now a member. So the assembly is Mount Zion. Altogether. So Mount Zion fundamentally in scriptures is used to teach about what? The assembly that the saint comes into by entering into the promises of God that has been fulfilled in Christ. Don't forget, God in hope of eternal life promised. Then what now happened? The promise is now made manifest by the resurrection. Then we go into that promise, and in going or stepping into that promise, what do we say of ourselves? We are now those who have come to Mount Zion, right? So there's Mount Zion, there's Mount Sinai, right? So there's Mount Zion that we've come into by virtue of the resurrection, that is by virtue of the giving of the Spirit. Do you get that? So we have come. So it is the we that have come. Means, so look at it. We that have come means we have a relationship with the God of Mount Zion. So, Mount Zion has a God. And what that God of Mount Zion wants to do is to bring men into a relationship in Mount Zion. Look at, see, before you read Hebrews 12, go to Hebrews 2. Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10 to 12. Hebrews 2, 10 to 12. Hallelujah. Look at Hebrews 2, verse 10 to 12. It says, for it became him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. To make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Look at, don't forget, Peter says, when you see the sufferings of our Lord and Savior, what do? He left an example for you to follow. Right? Look at verse 11. For both he that sanctified, who is he that sanctified? That's Jesus. Right? So, for both he that sanctified and they who are sanctified are all of one. Right? For which cause he is not ashamed to call us. That is, so who are the them? The them are those who are sanctified. So, who is the he that sanctifies? It is Jesus. So, the Bible says Jesus is not ashamed to call us brethren. Altogether, Jesus is not ashamed to call us brethren. So, it means that Jesus calls you his brother. Jesus calls me his brother. Are we together, right? So he is not ashamed to call us brethren, right? He is not ashamed to call us brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. I will declare thy name unto my brethren. So the brethren of Jesus are you and I, right? So go to Hebrews 13 verse 1. Hebrews 13 verse 1. So Hebrews 13 1 now says, let brethrenly love, yeah, that's your Bible, right? Let brotherly love continue. That's why you don't read the Bible in the middle of the thoughts. Before you get to chapter 13, he had emphasized who brethren are, right? Jesus, Bible says that he that sanctified and those who are sanctified, they are brothers, they are brethren. That means they have the same inheritance or the same heritage, right? So Jesus is our brother. So Jesus, your brother, says, so if the Bible expects that brotherly love should continue from you, it is because you've seen your older brother, you've seen your senior brother, or really your brother give you a template to follow, right? So Jesus will give a template, then you follow, right? So who are those that are brethren? Those that are brethren are those that have come to Mount Zion. They are those that have come to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. Yeah, the general assembly that is to say the church of the firstborn. Are we together? So there is so when God expects certain things from you, it is because he knows men will, or there is going to be a template that can be followed. Altogether. So the following the template of God is independent of how you feel. Are we together? You see, so now, will people do very hurtful things to you? I can assure you 175, in fact, 2000% yes. Now, what is your response to the evil that man does to you? We'll look at that today. What is your response to that which man does to you? Yeah, you don't respond with how you feel, except how you feel has been renewed. Altogether. You see, it's in our generation, in our world, where people want to say their mind, to give the peace of their mind, right? You always don't really need to always give the peace of your mind. Yeah, what is it? Pastor, you know, I've seen situations like this. Yeah, oh, Pastor, you see, don't tell me this one now. I don't believe in all this one. Yeah, see, I'm very straightforward. I'm straight to the core. I see my mind the way it is. The Bible doesn't say, see your mind the way it is, right? You see, Pastor, God has given me freedom. Well, yes, that's true. You have the freedom, yeah? But in that freedom, God has given you a template to follow. God is expecting. So God gives you freedom, but in that freedom, he has an expectation. You can fall short of that expectation. Why can you fall short of the expectation? It's because you have the freedom. Do you understand? Yeah? It's because you have the freedom. Yeah? I remember a couple years ago, and that was the first time this dawned on me. Yeah? I was speaking to a group of atheists, basically. Right? And, you know, and they were just asking questions. Why do people, if there's God, why do people die anyhow? If there's God, why can't God just stop? And I asked the question. I said, if God really took this, your ability to ask this question, would you ask this question? Yeah? So the only reason why you are an atheist, you can ask that question because the same God has given you freedom. Yeah, that's the same way there's a freedom given to another who will take his freedom to another extent to what? Kill another. Do you understand? Yeah, so in that freedom, there's an expectation. So look at it. A man by default is free. By default, God expects that he has supplied the giving of his spirit. He expects that you use your freedom to receive his spirit. That is salvation. Then when you receive his spirit, he now expects that you walk in the spirit. Are we together? Right? So the Christian walk is a call to walk. The Christian faith is has a call to walk. Look at Galatians chapter 6. Look at Galatians chapter 5. Stand fast therefore in the liberty where Christ has made you free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. If you go all the way to verse 16, yeah, for verse 16, look at verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, sedition, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness. Yeah. So can all these things be found in a Christian? Yes. You see, I found some people who say things like, oh, he says, envy, murder, drunkenness, a Christian does not sin. A Christian does not sin is not a Bible doctrine. Okay? Yeah? Sin is death is not a Bible doctrine. Yeah? Yeah? When a Christian lies, is not sin. Is being smart in Christ. No, sir. Can a Christian walk in envy? Yes. Can a Christian be adulterous? Yes. I don't mean figure of speech adulterous. Well, yes. So if a believer can, but you must acknowledge that that is what it is, and you must always also acknowledge that you only got that template by walking after the walk of the Gentiles. Yeah. So if a believer doesn't strive, right? Why is Paul mentioning to the believer in Galatians? Can a believer be envious? Yes. Envying is something that can be found in the heart of a believer. Can a believer can a believer kill? Oh, yes. Can a believer, hate? Oh, yes. Right? He says, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in the time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is what? The fruit of the Spirit is love. Look at verse 25. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So there's such a thing called living in the Spirit and walking in the Spirit. Every believer is alive unto God, Romans 6, right? Every believer, there is no believer that can be unsaved, yeah? There is no believer that is saved today and possibly will not be saved tomorrow. Now, there is no believer that was once saved and is no longer saved. No, we only have believers who are saved, who are alive unto God, but act contrary. Do you get that? Now go back all the way to verse 16. This I say unto you, right? Go back to verse 14. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, right? Even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now we're getting started, okay? So what is thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself? Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself is thou shalt love the way you have been loved. Right? I taught this extensively during the Wooden Love series earlier in the year, as well as the second part of Navigating Your Bible, our daily teaching, sometime in August. Right? So what does it mean to love thy neighbor as thyself? It is that God first made you his neighbor and demonstrated his love towards you. Right? So what do you now say? You now say that is brotherly love. Then what did God now leave with you? He says, you are life unto me, walk in the spirit. Right? He says, let brotherly love continue. Let brotherly love continue. So why is there an expectation of brotherly love from you? It is because you are life unto God. Right? Look at verse 14 again. The law is fulfilled in one word. It means you can summarize everything as thou shalt love thy neighbor as thou hast been loved. Yeah. So when he says thou shalt love your neighbor as yourself, as thyself, he's not saying love your neighbor the way you want them to love you. Are we together? Right? No, that's what he's teaching. He's saying love your neighbor on account of the love you see as a template from the Father. Right? So you were first God's neighbor, then he showed his love towards you, then says brother. Then what does it now say? You pick another beside you, he becomes or she becomes your neighbor, then what do? You love that person the way you've been loved, not the way you feel like being loved. Right? Because the way people feel like being loved, it differs from pole to pillar. Right? Yeah, it differs from pole to pillar. So for instance, you see somebody who likes gifts. Right, and some people they like gifts, and if you don't give them gifts, if you like write paragraphs, if you like write a book on how much they are loved, right? The love of you know your love fascinates me, your love takes me to the river beyond. Your love makes me see like the water gushing from the top of a hill, right? So is my love being poured out to you. So you can write a book about that, and in all of that, you'll say thanks. I hope you know there's a difference between thanks and thank you. Not because, see, that's not doctrinal. Yeah. You should know where the line stops. Yeah. Thanks and thank you is not the same. And there's thanks, there's thank you, there's thank you so much, and there's thank you so very much. So you write to epistle and so on, and maybe the boy or the guy or the lady just says thanks. Yeah. Thanks with the third. Thanks. Right. Right. And meanwhile, another person comes. And you take that same letter and give to another person, just change the title. And you start hearing things. Oh, wow. Oh, yay. Oh, wow. Wow. Is this mean? Wow, this means so much. Yeah. So, if that is how God is saying, love your neighbor as thyself, it means love will be varied or will have variety in the world. Yeah. There will be a lot of variances of love. Do you understand? Because one wants to be loved this way. One, see, there are some you have to tell, you can, there are some you say sorry to, and just sorry is enough. There are some you have to say, I am so deeply, genuinely, honestly sorry. And there are some that when you tell, I am honestly, sincerely, genuinely sorry, if you don't add a flower to it, you are not sorry yet. So in the real sense, you cannot say love your neighbor as thyself to mean the Bible is teaching the way you want to be loved, give other love. That's poor Bible interpretation. It is the way you have been loved by God the Father, you dispense that same love to another. Okay? Did you get that? Right? So it says, look at verse 15. If ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. Okay, so let me ask you a question. Can brother A offend brother B in life? Oh, yes. Now, when brother A offends brother B, what should brother B listen to? Brother B should not listen to, you have to give teeth for that. Brother B should listen to, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So it means brother B is not expected to respond with how he feels to brother A, even though brother A has done something terrible. Now, let me ask you a question. What should brother A have been hearing from time memorial? Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So it means that from the get-go, brother A should not have done anything of sorts to brother B. Yeah, but life happens, right? Yeah, we just said it, right? There can be envy, malice, anger, wrath, bitterness found in senior apostle. Yeah, it can be found. If senior apostle doesn't guard his heart or doesn't renew his mind, his mind can be a breathing space of bitterness. Yeah. In fact, let me say it differently. Apostle, bishop, apostle, reverend, can actually have a heart where that is the breeding space of bitterness and teach against bitterness. Yeah, yeah, you must understand it. So that's why, as a disciple that you are, or you should be having disciples, you ought to also make sure that the word you are learning is not for your disciples. It is first for you. Or it's not for disciples alone. It is first for you to renew your mind, then you communicate to your disciples. Do you understand? You see, the Bible is so interesting that even if a man walks in bitterness and teaches accurate doctrine of bitterness, right? The fact that he walks in bitterness does not disapprove him from teaching the word about bitterness. Did you hear what I said? Did you hear what I said? Right? The fact that a man, right, walks in bitterness, well, that's devilish, that's ungodly, that's the work of the Gentiles. But the fact that a man walks in bitterness, that doesn't exclude the man from teaching the right, accurate doctrine on bitterness. What is better? What does the word expect? The word expects the man should take care of bitterness in his heart, cement all those very, very watery grounds of bitterness in his heart, then teach bitterness. He can actually still teach bitterness, right? In teaching sound doctrine about bitterness, you've done well. In keeping bitterness in your heart, you've not done well. You get that? Yeah. So Paul will say in verse 16, Romans 5:16, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." So look at verse 25 again. He says, "If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." So it is not always going to be about how I feel. It's not always going to be about what I think I want to say. A lot of times, or more often than not, or every time actually, should be, what is the template I see in Christ Jesus? Right? What is the template I see in Christ Jesus? What is the template I see in Christ Jesus? So, can a believer be hot? Yes. Yeah. You see, hot is something that a believer can have because the believer has a mind. He has a brain. Are we together? Right? So, but in the real sense, it is not about what... So, look at it. You see, you know that I can offend you. And in my heart, I know that what I've done to you is terrible. Right? And even in my heart, I know that if someone did it to me, I will not easily forgive. Right? And I know that if you don't forgive me, it's okay because I'm terrible. Because what I've done is terrible. And I can still also decide and say, I will not apologize for that. Yeah? What should be your response to me? Your response should not be, she as well, they as well. They knew that I will not, that this is a gross thing. They know the truth. Yeah? They know the truth. And since they already know that it's a gross thing, but they don't want to admit it, I will always keep it as a gross thing to my heart. No, that's not the heart of a believer. Paul will say, let all malice put away. So it means your knowledge about how they think about how they offended you, your knowledge about how they think about how they hurt you, it's a deliberate effort to put away. Look at it. Now, you see, in scripture, if you read through scripture generally, you'll find out that you won't see the Bible teaching forgive and forget. Do you understand? Right? Yeah. You won't see the Bible teach forgive and forget. You know why? Because you have a brain. You have a heart. You recall things. Yeah. But what the Bible teaches is, at every point in time where the recalling is happening, what you use to tackle recalling is renewal. You get that? Take note of that. You tackle recalling by renewal. What are you renewing? Renewing your mind. Renewing the spirit of your mind. Did you get that? Take note of that. You tackle recalling. Yeah? You see, some of us are so good at recalling. On the 27th of January, 2027. Do you remember you said this and that? So, look at it. Can a man recall? Yes. Now, why can't you recall? You have a brain. Look at it. I don't understand. You see, the only reason why we went to school and we decided to write exam is because they knew that when they teach you certain things and you see certain things, you will be able to recall it. Do you understand? So, man can recall because man is man. So what should man do when recalling happens as a believer, right? So you can recall the hurt, but you can recall what was done. But what do you do? You tackle with a renewing of the mind. Yeah, that's what the Bible expects. So it means that intentionally, look at it. There are some things that, for instance, yeah, you know, let me give an example. You can watch a movie and you see something play out in a movie, and someone did something to you 20 years ago, And that movie reminds you of that person. Why do you remember that person? My dear brother, my dear sister, you've got a brain in your head. You've got a mind. You've got a heart. Yeah? So what does Bible teach? Your response at that time is to, so it means you keep renewing. So if every time it gets to you, or you recall that event, or recall that narrative, and it makes you start thinking, let me try find out, is this person still alive? Yeah, you know, you cannot try this to an anointed man of God and go scot-free. You know, you will pay for it in front of, hey, that is what you are. What are you doing? You are walking according to the Gentiles, or you are walking according to the template you find from the work of the Gentiles. Altogether. Right? So what should be your response? Oh, I'm going to... So it means that if, for instance, so look at it. This concept of love work is a very detailed, is a concept that needs to be properly taught. Right? Because I know an average person on this conversation, on this topic, has the same question. Altogether. Right? Yeah? And I tackle that to a large extent during the August series. I admonish you to go lay your hands on it. But you see, what I'm saying for today is, the instruction, or it says the law is fulfilled in these words: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thou hast been loved. You see, when God, the Bible says in Romans 5, when we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. When we're yet sinners, Christ died. So it means that Christ gave forgiveness of sins ahead of your sins. Look at it. Look at it though. Think about it this way. For us now in this world, right? Before any child is born, forgiveness of sin has gone ahead of the child. So what now happens? The child now grows up, become mature, begin to understand, then now receive it. And what does he receive? The Spirit of God. It is not when the child now does something bad that he will now ask God, then God will give. No, God gives ahead. That's the heart of the believer. You give forgiveness ahead. You pay it in front. That's the heart of the believer. Yeah, what am I just really saying? That's the heart that is the heart that should be expected of the believer. Because the Bible says, be there for followers. Altogether. So the times where you find that your heart is not aligning, or your heart is aligning more to your emotion, what do you do? You renew your mind. 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 Oh, I am the one who Christ died for. I'm the one who God forgave ahead of time. I'm the one who God forgave me, and the forgiveness he has given has been that which he promised before the world began. Yeah, so you renew your mind. You renew your mind. Oh, because I've been forgiven, I have the ability to forgive others. Look at Lamentations 2. Lamentations. Let's lament a little this morning. Look at Lamentations chapter 2. Go all the way with me to Lamentations chapter 2 quickly. Are you there? Or let's look at Lamentations chapter 3. Lamentations chapter 3 and go all the way to verse 22. Right? It is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. Look at that again. It is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed, because his compassion fails not. Look at verse 23, 1, 2, 3, go. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. You remember what I said earlier on? When you think about the steadfast love of our Lord never fails or never ceases. His mercy is endured, his mercy is His mercy is endured. You know the song? They are new every morning. Near every morning, great is thy faithfulness. You don't stop there, right? You put comma, stanza one. They are new every morning as well for me. So I taught you before, a couple months ago, what they are new every morning means. They are new every morning does not mean that God renews his compassion every day. No, no, no. God is compassionate. That is his fact. What he's teaching here is that every morning is an opportunity to remind yourself of his compassion that does not fail. Yeah, he has already told you that his compassion fails not. So if his compassion fails not, when he says they are new, if you look at they are new every morning as a renewer, it means the compassion fails and it has to be renewed. Did you get that? I just give you simple analysis there. If he says his compassion does not fail, and you are saying he renews it every morning, it means our truth, the compassion. So it's like a jar. It reduces by evening, reduces by afternoon. The question now becomes, is it that God has different jars for different countries? Because you know, as you are talking right now in the morning, some people are in the middle of their night. Yeah. So at what morning does this start for God? Yeah, you'll get yourself muddled up with lots of things, right? So is they are new every morning. Is every morning is an opportunity to remind yourself of the greatness of his faithfulness. And I tell you, dear saints, every morning as well, is an opportunity to remind yourself of that which you received, the greatness of his love. Altogether, right? So Paul will say, go back to Ephesians 5, where we really are this morning. Ephesians 5. So we've looked at a God whose mercy does not fail, whose mercy fails, whose compassion fails not, and his mercies endure forever. Then in doing that, what do we see? We see ourselves in him, right? So Paul will now say, Ephesians 5 verse 1, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, right? And walk in love, as Christ also hath what? Loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice for a sweet smelling savour. Right? So what is the followership of God expect, or what is Paul expecting as followers of God? He's expecting the walk that is the love walk. What does Paul call the love walk in Galatians 5? He calls it the walk of the Spirit, or the walk of the Spirit. If ye then be alive, or if ye then believe, or if ye then be and live unto God, yeah, walk, or live in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit. So, every morning is an opportunity to remind yourself that I'm going to walk in love this morning. You see, this coming year, right, make a decision in your heart to walk in love more than you've ever done in all your life. Yeah. So, that's a godly thing, because in doing that, you are being a follower of God. Right, you see, give people forgiveness bands in front. Give them ahead. Yeah, if people will not offend you, and there will be no need to instruct that people should walk in love. It is because people will offend you. That is why the Bible teaches about the concept of walking in love. Let me show you something quick in Matthew 22. I've looked at something like that in Romans today, but look at Matthew 22. Look at Jesus. So we see that Peter teaches that Jesus Christ suffered forbearing so that we can see an example to follow. The Bible says, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps. Right? We see that Paul says, be the followers of God and walk in love even as Christ has died for you. Right? Look at Matthew 22. Look at Matthew 22. Look at all the way in verse 36. Master, Matthew 22, 36. Master, which is the great commandment? Look at that carefully. Yeah? Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Yeah? So, Paul says the law is fulfilled in these words. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Right, so he now says, Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. Now, I've taught this that what thou shalt love the God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy soul means is thou shalt receive of the love he has given to you. Yeah, lay your hands on that navigating scriptures, the second part we did earlier in the year in August, the week long teaching. Right, then also lay your hands on the Wooden Love series. Okay, right, so he says that is the first, verse 38, and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, that thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. What is thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself? It is thou shalt love thy neighbor the way you have been loved, as God's first neighbor. So you were first God's neighbor, then God showed you a love, then you can call that love brotherly love towards you. Then Hebrews 13 will now say, let brotherly love continue. Altogether. Let me show you an example of what Paul says in Romans chapter 12. Look at Romans 12. Let's quickly look at something in Romans 12. Look at Romans 12 verse 2 first. It says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove that which is good, or prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Yeah. So a lot of times what we take that scripture to mean is God has a good will, then God has a perfect will. God has a good will, God has an acceptable will, and God has a perfect will. That's very tricky. And you know, we know that a major topic that we use that to teach is especially in marriage or for jobs, right? So for every believer, God has a goodwill kind of job. Then God has an acceptable, let's use it for every boyfriend, every girlfriend, right? Every husband, right? So there is that which is a good man for you. Yeah? But doesn't mean that it's acceptable of God. You see, learn to be patient so you can get the perfect will of God. That's what has kept some people. to be unmarried for decades, right? And I hope you know, there's nothing wrong in, there's nothing anti-scriptural if one is unmarried, yeah? There is no clear-cut instruction in Bible that everybody must marry, yeah? There's no clear-cut instruction in Bible that everybody must marry. Else, Jesus would have left that example for us. I believe strongly that if Jesus didn't marry, really, for those of us, hallelujah, praise God, bro, glory to the Lamb. Well, Paul as well, we have no record of that. We have several, you know, apostles like that in scriptures that have those examples. Yeah, you get that, right? So marriage is not, you see, there are some marriages that if you don't marry the right woman, yeah, the right woman. And if she's left woman, push her to the right now. Well, yeah, if you don't marry, I get what you mean. So yeah, if you don't marry, you know, marry somebody who is God's acceptable will. And that is some, if you go into a marriage with that mindset, you know what will happen to you? You will fight. Yeah. Let me use a less hurtful word, yeah, or less strong word. You will quarrel. There's sometimes you will quarrel back to back every day for 10 weeks. Yeah. And that's the best time when he now says, well, God will tell you, your God in your mind will tell you, well, you went for the goodwill. Yeah, you have to bear your cross. Some will now say, ah, God, I don't want this good again. I want a perfect will. So good, acceptable, perfect does not show that God has three wills for man. Yeah. I think I want to do a series on the will of God. Yeah. Let's see, look at the next 5 years and see when we can touch it. So look at Romans 12, verse 9. It says, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil and cleave to that which is good. That means put that which is evil. Is that similar to Ephesians 4? Ephesians 4. Let all bitterness and anger be put away from you, right? And be followers or put on the new man, right? So he says, let all cleave to that which is good. Look at verse 10. Be kindly affectionate one to another with what? Brotherly love. Yeah, Hebrews 13 says, let brotherly love continue. You see, the Bible is interlinked, really. Yeah, he says, honor, preferring one another. Verse 11, not slothful in business, but in spirit. Now look at verse 14. Jesus taught this as well, right? Jesus taught, right? Go to chapter 13, verse 8. Chapter 13, verse 8. You know, I've showed you, Peter taught that Jesus gave the template, you follow. Paul taught that, Paul is teaching again, Jesus gave a template, we follow. Jesus taught that I give a template, you follow. Yeah, that's why he says, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thou have been loved, or as I have expressed love to you. Look at Romans 13. Paul teaches the same thing. Romans 13, verse 8. Owe no man anything. You are going back to Romans 12, 14. Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. He that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. Look at verse 9. For this, right? For this, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, all of those things mentioned. Thou shalt not, it says, and if there be any commandment, verse 9, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, what is the saying? Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. What is thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself? It is thou shalt show. So because you love another, you won't think evil. Because you love another, you won't wish evil. You know, some of us believe that when people offend us, we start looking to hear bad news about them. You know, say, yes, God has caught them. God has caught them. Yeah, they told you. You know, I was just, touch not my anointed, and do my prophet no harm. Yeah? You know, talk God, you are talking to another anointed. Imagine, another anointed. Yeah, you know, I've taught you before, touch not my anointed is not touch not the pastors. Yeah, the anointed are those who are called, those who are partakers of the in Christ realities, those who are partakers of the resurrection spirit. Yeah, those are those who are the anointed of God. Are we together? Yeah, so he says, look at verse 10, Romans 13, 10. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. That means love doesn't wish ill. Love doesn't do ill things, evil things. Look at it though. It's not saying love doesn't do evil because others don't do evil to you. No, it is regardless of what man does, always make sure that when you are offended, when you are upset, you are looking for the best way to renew your mind. Why? Because, you see, we need more templates and more of this is to be taught. Because by default in this world, the template of the Gentiles is what is loudest. Altogether, the template of the Gentiles is what is loudest. So we need to be more, so for yourself, you need to now be very intentional in making the template that is of God very loud in your heart, in your space. Right? So you know, if we said earlier on that next year, we want to be able to walk in love towards others more than we've ever done in our lives. What that really means is simple. Yeah, it means you will listen to God's word more than you've ever done in your life. That's the only way. You can't start this year, or this coming year, right? Where that you want to love more than ever before, and you maintain the intensity in which you listen to the word. Yeah, for some of us, the only time we listen to the word is when I talk like this on Sunday. Some of us only on Wednesday. Some of us only on Sunday. Some of us Sunday, Wednesday, a little sprinkle of a message. You can listen to a message of 2 hours, right? In 1 month, right? It takes you 1 month to listen to a message of 2 hours. But it takes you 1 day to listen to watch 2 seasons of 1 movie. You see, you're doing yourself and you want to walk in love. You see, an average movie doesn't even promote walking in love, because an average movie promotes the work of the Gentiles. Do you get that? So you can't feed your mind more with the work of the Gentiles and expect to walk in love. How on earth? It's impossible. It's impossible. You can only walk in love more when you voraciously feast on the word of God. Yeah, that now creates a template for you. So in the coming year, when I'm saying you deliberately walk in love, it means I'm saying you will deliberately amplify the voice of the word of the Lord in your heart to your heart. Yeah, see, this year, listen to messages more than you watch movies. That's the only way you can fulfill the task of walking in love more than ever before. Listen, pray yet more than you would watch movies. That's the only way you fulfill the task of walking in love yet more and more. Together, right? Yeah, so because you are in the middle of a world, there's a template in this world, but you need to be intentional not to follow that template, right? And so, see, look at it, you don't get intentional by saying, I will be intentional. So, you don't wake up everyone and say, yeah, okay, it's fine. You can wake up everyone and say, I'll be intentional, that's okay, but it doesn't stop with, I will be intentional. You can't say, I will be intentional. It means for you to say, I'll be intentional, we should see it in the decisions you make. Yeah, so I want to walk in love yet more in 2024, right? But it means that I need to be deliberate about amplifying the work of God's love to me. So it means I want to voraciously feed my heart with that which God has demonstrated towards me in the resurrection of His Son. That's true love, okay? So Paul now says, love walketh no ill, Romans 13:10, to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Go back to chapter 12, verse 14. Bless them which persecute you. Look at what Paul says. He says, bless and curse not. So Paul is saying, I say, bless them who persecute you. Bless, not curse. So can a man do something terrible to you, and the first thing you want to do is that it will not be well with you and your lineage? Yes. So let me ask you a question. Where do you see that template? You've heard somebody else say it. That's it. Where you heard it from is a work of the Gentiles. It's simple. I want to get that. You see, if you pick a child, right, and put a child, and he grows up and starts driving. So from the part of the world where I come from, it's almost default to insult when you drive. You know what I've done for myself in almost a decade now of driving in that part of the world is, if I've looked at a driver who has done something terrible to me in my years of driving, I doubt it's up to 5 times. I doubt it. Yeah, so you see people do very ridiculous things for you in front, right? And what will happen? You now try to want to overtake, then you now look at them with one eye. So those are even those who have a little subtle sprinkle of godliness, right? But there are those with your AC you are using, you will wind down, you will maintain your speed with them and be giving them insults, the insult that they never received in their life. You know, if you take a child and don't put that child in a setting where he sees it, right? Yeah. What will happen? Yeah. Even if he gets upset by a ridiculous way, in fact, what even turns ridiculous, that conversation can keep going on and on. What is turned ridiculous as driving, for instance, is because he has seen an example of what others have turned ridiculous. I will get that. Let me not get you all worked up with that. So, the Bible says, bless and not curse. So, it means that people will do terrible things to you. What is expected of you? Bless and not curse. Now, let's go to verse 15. Rejoice with them that do rejoice and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one to another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceit. Now, look at 17 where I'm going to. Recompense to no man evil for evil. So if a man recompenses evil for evil, where does he learn that template? The work of the Gentiles. Yeah? What should a man really do? He should recompense not. In recompensing not, what does he do? He actually is a follower of God as a dear member of the city of the living God, as a dear member of Mount Zion. Alright? So it says, recompense to no man evil for evil, provide things honest in the sight of all men. Look at verse 18. If it be possible, as much as it lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Yeah, that's scriptures. Okay, that's scriptures. Now, what makes that easy to fulfill is you amplifying the riches of his love that he has demonstrated towards you via the resurrection. Yeah, don't forget, you are the first neighbor who God demonstrated his love towards, and in doing that, he expects a certain kind of love from you or a certain kind of response from you. Now, look at verse 18. Verse 19, it says, dearly beloved, so he's speaking to believers, avenge not for yourself, or avenge not yourself, but rather give place unto wrath. Yeah? So, look at it. If you read that verse and stop there, and you've read Ephesians chapter 4, where it says, put wrath away, you'll be confused. Right? So, when it says, give place to wrath, it means that give place to wrath needs to be properly understood, or Paul is confusing you. How can you say Romans, give place to wrath? Ephesians, put wrath away. Yeah, so it means you need to read both of them to understand what he's saying. Right? So look at verse 19 again. He says, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Yeah, I know I've also given you this example, you know, of a man who will say things like, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. Do you understand? So the Lord says that vengeance is mine, I will repay. That's being wise in your conceit. Yeah. So he says, I will repay, says the Lord. So does God repay? Yes. Is God a God of vengeance? Yes. Go back to Hebrews 13, verse 1. Is God a God of vengeance? Oh, yes. Yeah. The problem with man is that man fails to understand the vengeance of God. Let me say it differently. The problem with man is that man imposes the ideology of vengeance on God. That is why when you see another man offends another man, that other man takes the other man to God in prayer, yeah, waiting for vengeance. So we'll look at God's vengeance now. Look at Hebrews 12, verse 29. It says, for our God is a consuming fire. So, is God a consuming fire? Yes. So, God is a God of vengeance that is a consuming fire. Yeah? You see what we do? We appropriate our thinking about consuming fire to other men. Every satanic manipulation, every man or woman fighting me in Christ, Holy Ghost, fire, consume them. Yeah? Burn them, destroy them. Yeah. So, the picking from God is a consuming fire. Do you understand? Elijah will call down fire. Jesus will go to a city and be rejected, Luke 9. And disciples will say, should we call down fire like Elijah did? Yeah? Alright? And what will Jesus say? The Bible says that Jesus turned and rebuked them. Don't you know what spirit ye are of? Yeah? For the Son of Man has not come to destroy men's life, but to what? Save men. Yeah? So, did Elijah call down fire? Yes. Did fire respond? Yes. Was the fire supernatural? Yes. Was it God responding? No. Yeah? Because we see Jesus in the flesh. Now responding to his disciples. So it means that if Jesus was physically in the flesh with Elijah, he would have cautioned Elijah to stop that. Yeah? Yeah. But before they even caution you, yeah, you've already called out fire and it happens. Blessed be your heart. Yeah? So he says, for God is a consuming fire. How do you know the fire that is consuming here is about love? The next line says, let brotherly love continue. Don't forget, the Bible was written in chapters. So you can't say God is a consuming fire and he's saying let love walk in. So look at it this way. You can't say God consumes those that offend you by his fire. And next breath he's saying let brotherly love continue. When you consume somebody with fire, that's not brotherly love. So it means that the God that consumes with fire is a God that consumes with a law. So it means that his fire consumes that which is not of love. That's why the next thing he says to you is let brotherly love continue. Are you here? Let's go back to Romans. Let's try to tie the knot around what we've spoken about today. Romans all the way in verse 20. Romans chapter 12, verse 20. Before you go to Romans 12, go to Proverbs 25. Proverbs 25, 21. You see, some people teach that the love walk is only taught post Jesus' resurrection. Let me show you something. Yeah? Look at Proverbs 12 to 25, verse 21. It says, if thy enemy be hungry, Proverbs is not in the middle of Romans and Galatians, though, right? So Proverbs says, if your enemy is hungry, give him bread to eat. And if he is thirsty, give him water to drink. For thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head, and the Lord shall reward thee. Thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head. And so what does the Bible teach? Yeah, both Genesis to Revelation. What does the Bible teach you should do to your enemy? Yeah, if they be hungry, give them food to eat. If they be thirsty, give them water to drink. In doing that, what are you doing? You are letting brotherly love continue. Yeah? So when he says, in doing that, you are heaping coals of fire. That's where the consuming fire comes in now. Because the consuming fire now comes in to destroy that which is not of love. So the goal is to make... Go back to Romans 12. Let me teach you from Romans 12, okay? Romans 12, verse 20. It says, therefore, if thy enemy hunger, feed him. If thy enemy hunger, feed him. Is that from Proverbs 25? Yes. So that's Paul teaching from Proverbs, right? If he be thirsty, give him drink, right? For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of... That's exactly Romans chapter 25, verse 21, 22. In so doing, you are heaping coals of fire on his head. Yeah? So what is happening? When you walk in love, you are heaping coals of fire. What is the goal of the fire? It is to overcome evil with good. In case you missed that, look at the next verse, 21. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. So how do you overcome evil with good? You overcome evil with good by heaping coals of fire. How did God overcome evil with good? He overcame evil with good by heaping coals of fire. So the heaping of God's coal of fire on your head is to consume that which is not of his love. Did you get that? It is so God is a consuming fire. His consuming fire is not to destroy men, but to actually overcome the... So God and man meet, and man brings evil. Then God uses his consuming fire to consume evil. I hope that makes sense to you. This is what I just said. So look at it though. So when Bible says vengeance, so what is the vengeance of God? The vengeance of God is to heap coals of fire on those that do evil to you. That's true vengeance. How do you know? It tells you that what? If your enemy be hungry, feed him. If he be thirsty, give him. Not the one you say you give him water to drink and you don't put salt. Or you give him food, you don't put salt. Yeah? Or you give him water and you put little concussion inside so that they will just die. Yeah, no. He says, if they be hungry, give them. That's the teaching from Proverbs. All together. Yeah? So a lot of us use, for our God is a consuming fire. Right? Yeah? Any man that doesn't want to see my progress in life. See, will there be men who don't want to see your progress in life? Oh, yes, now. Yeah? You are working in a company, right? You are another person. You are two business analysts. The next position is a role of a senior business analyst. My dear brother, my dear sister, happy are you if you know you are in competition? Happy are you if you find out that the other person has got to tell another person the thing you said that you did not say? Happy are you? You are in the world. Are we together? But what do you do as business analyst A? In the real sense, you heap coals of fire. Yeah. So you don't say, you don't know who you are trying. You will see. I give you 7 days. Repent. No. That's the work of the Gentiles. All together, yeah. The work of following our Lord and Savior is the work that entails, I'm going to overcome that evil with good. That is, so man brings evil your way, and you come with the consuming fire of God. And what does the consuming fire of God do? It allows brotherly love to continue. Jesus, your first brother, allows you to receive of his love, or he gives you his love that you have received. Then you now extend. So you let it. The reason why it says let brotherly love continue, allow brotherly love to continue, is because it has started. You don't continue what has not started. You continue that which has started. So he starts it, then you continue. Yeah, he loved you. You love your neighbor as he loved you. You look at his template. You follow suit. So look at it again. He says, if your enemy be hungry, what do? You feed him. If he be thirsty, what do? You give him drink. For in doing so, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. So the coals of fire there, is this to destroy the man? No. So if the coal of fire you heap on a man of one who is your enemy does not destroy the man, how come the consuming fire of God destroys man? No, the consuming fire of God destroys that which is. So it's actually a supply of his love. Yeah? So man meets God. So man and God meet on a table. Man brings what? Man brings hatred, strife, bitterness, wrath. What does God do? God now uses his fire and consumes it. Yeah, you see, so look at it. A man is an unbeliever. He brings his unbelieving attitude and Gentile work to the table of God. And what does God do? God now uses his love. God literally heaps coals of fire on his head. And what is the heaping coal of fire? It is the heaping of coal of fire that has nothing to do with fire, but has everything to do with what? The forgiveness of that man. So, see, you looking at me today, you were only saved because coals of fire were heaped on your head. Yeah, the only reason why you are saved is because God is a consuming fire. I hope you get the point. Yeah, the only reason why you are saved is because for our God is a consuming fire. That's the only reason. Yeah, so that's the summary reason of how you are saved. So it is because God is a consuming fire you are saved. Because his consuming fire is the first demonstration of brotherly love to you. In that demonstration, what do? You let brotherly love continue. So he hit coals of fire on your head so he can hit coal of fire on another. So a man offends you, a man betrays you, a man backstabs you, a man does terrible things to you, a man takes your girlfriend, a man takes your boyfriend, blessed be the Father, glory to God. A woman takes your boyfriend. Right? A woman, three women are fighting for one man. One man is fighting for five women. When all of those narratives, why would they happen? You are in the middle of men. But what do? So in the coming year, every day, what do? Remind yourself that you are one who carries the consuming fire. Right? What does your consuming fire do? Your consuming fire is used to heap coals of fire on the head. What does it do? Verse 22, 21. Be not overcome of evil. Right, but overcome evil with good. So let man bring evil your way. You swallow up evil with good. What do you use to swallow? Let me say it differently. Let man bring evil your way. You burn evil with good. Yeah. You burn evil with good. So you pick up out of the consuming fire of God and burn evil that man brings your way. So man brings evil your way. Yeah, what do you retaliate with? You look at it. The man that brought evil your way should have brought fire your way. Do you get that? The man that brought evil your way ideally should have brought fire. You get that? Yeah? But he did not come or she did not come with fire. But what do? You don't respond with what she came with. So he might have or she might have come with cutlass. Yeah? But there's something called holy fire, godly fire, the fire that consumes out of love. Yeah? What do? You use fire. So someone comes. So you have a friend, you have a brother, you have a sister. They bring bitterness. They put it here. They put anger. They put it here. They lie on your head. They put it here. They backstab you. They put it here. They do terrible things to you. They backstab. They took your first boyfriend. Took your second boyfriend. Put it on the table. They took the person that you were supposed to get married to. Put it, the person that gave you ring. Put it on the table. And what do? You now say the fire of the Holy Ghost. What is the fire of the Holy Ghost? It is let brotherly love continue. If you see that one who took your boyfriend and you see him in a point where you are the only one or is asking for bread from you, what do you do? If that enemy be hungry, give him food to eat. Yeah. Not the one that say, you've not seen anything. So, your first one is say, you've not seen anything. This is just the beginning. You don't know the God I serve. The Lord I'm serving is good to me. No. It is, you've done. Look at it. Remember I said earlier on, the Bible does not teach forgive and forget. Yeah? To forgive and forget will require a deliberate, intentional effort to wipe out that time of memory. But the question is, when you recall, what did you do? You renew. Remember that phrase? When you recall, you renew. When you recall, you renew. Not the one that you'll be muting, you will mute yourself, you block yourself, and once in a blue moon, you go and unblock to see, are things really going on with him? What are you doing? You are going with cutlass. What should you go with? You go with fire. Yeah? For our God is a consuming fire. Don't forget, the Bible says, the law is fulfilled in the fact that thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Look at Matthew's Gospel. Go all the way to Matthew's Gospel chapter 5. Let me close there, okay? Matthew's Gospel chapter 5, okay? Matthew's Gospel chapter 5. And if you go all the way to verse 44. So Paul taught it. Paul said, when you see enemy, carry fire. Carry Keep, so look at their head and pour coals of fire on their head. What is pouring coals of fire on their head? It is heaping on their head or overcoming evil with good. So if man brings fire in your way, literal, what do? You overcome with what? Supernatural fire. What is supernatural fire? The consuming fire that lets brotherly love continue. Look at Matthew chapter 5, verse 44. I say unto, now this is Jesus. Yeah, that was Paul. This is Jesus. I say unto you, love your enemies. How else can Jesus say, love your enemies? Heap coals of fire on the heads of your enemies. See, listen to what I'm teaching over and over again. It will help you. Okay? So he says, bless them, verse 44, and curse you. Do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. So when people despitefully use you, yes, what do? You heap coals of fire on their head. Yeah? Yeah? He says, and persecute you. When people persecute you, yes, you heap coals of fire on their head. Look at verse 745. That ye may be what? Children of your father. Is that where we started from? Ephesians 5:1. That ye may be followers of your father as their children. So how does God react to those that persecute? How does God react? Or how does God, you know, what does God respond to those that bring evil? He actually what? Love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Look at verse 46. Look at verse 5 rather. That ye may be the children of your father which is in heaven. For he maketh the sun to rise on the evil and the good. So God doesn't say because you are evil, sun will not touch your farmland. No. He says, he allows the rain, he sendeth the rain on the just and the unjust. Yeah, you're an unbeliever, you're a believer, and because you're an unbeliever, you will not get water in your land. You will be using hose to wet your garden. No. He allows his rain, his sun on the evil and the good. That's God. Yeah? So, what is God doing? God is the one that shows the template of consuming fire, right? So, if you go all the way to verse 46, for if you love them that love you alone, what reward have you? Look at it. To love someone that loves you is nothing new. Even an unbeliever knows to do that. Even a newborn baby that is growing knows to do that. That's why you see a newborn baby, you give food today, give sweet tomorrow. What happened? They come back to you or they have your back. Yeah? But he's trying to say that in the real sense, you don't just love those that love you. He says, if you love those that love you, what do you more than others? That means, what is the extra effort or extra step you've gone more than an average person? And if you salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans do so? Look at verse 48. What does it now say? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. Go to Ephesians 5 as well. Yeah, let's close there, okay? Ephesians 5:1. All right? So be ye therefore followers of God. What is he saying? Be ye therefore perfect, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Right? As dear children, and walk in love. Dear saints, in the coming day, right, you will deliberately make up your mind to walk in love more. And how will you do that? You will give yourself yet more. You will give yourself yet more to the voracious forgiveness of sins that God has given in Christ Jesus. You will give yourself yet more to understand the consuming fire of our God. And you see that you will replicate that in your relationship with others. Right? So be intentional about forgiving. Be intentional about walking in love. Be intentional about resembling your Father. Bible says, be therefore perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Oh well, it's been a pleasure to bring God's word your beautiful way this morning. Well, I want to wish you all a Merry Christmas. Tomorrow is Christmas. Take our time and feast on the word. Take our time. Spend our time with your family. Take our time to revise the things you've learned and been instructed regarding over the year. Right? Take our time to be very intentional in the coming day and coming year. Right? And make up your mind to follow Jesus with the template he has given. Make up your mind to follow the template he has given. You see? So have a good time. Take our time. Eat well. Feast well. Enjoy yourself. And start getting ready for the new year. Well, I'll come your way again on Wednesday. It's going to be online again. Nigerian Church, 8 p.m. And the UK Church, 7 p.m. All on YouTube. So I'll come again. I'll come your way again with God's word. And I'll see you then. I love you all dearly. I love you all dearly. I love you all dearly. Have a beautiful break. Cheers.